I pray that tonight you can say that the blood is, you've called on Jesus, and that you can claim the blood. Well, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. And you can stand to your feet whenever you get there. And we'll start in verse 8. I'm titling this message tonight, An Impossible Situation. Now I can say I got the first impossible message in before Pastor did this year. So I hope I'm praying that I didn't take one of his passages. I just took one of his titles. But we'll start in verse 8. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are." God, I want to thank you and praise you for this opportunity, Lord. I want to thank you for calling me to do what I'm doing tonight, Lord, preaching your word. God, I want to thank you for salvation. God, I pray if there's someone here tonight, they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They can't sing the song that was just sung. God, I pray they would get it right tonight, knowing that it's a free gift and it is bestowed to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. God, I pray for me tonight, Lord. I pray you preach through me, Lord. God, I pray for that Christian that may be lost here, maybe far away from the Lord. I pray that you'd help them to know that they can come to this altar and get it right. Pray that you help me in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you can go ahead and see it, we see in verse 10, it says, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest of in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan." We see here in point one that the enemy's secrets. The enemy has secrets. We see that he's got a target on his head. The king is asking, he takes counsel in his servants. The king takes counsel in people that he can trust and gives them information that he doesn't want anybody else receiving. We see that in verse 9, "And the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." So Elisha, he's a prophet, and he's getting special word from the Lord that what is happening, what the king of Syria is doing. And we see that he's relying this information to the king of Israel. Listen, don't go here. The king is ready for you. The king of Syria is ready for you. And it says in verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once or twice." He's warning. And in verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore afraid." It seemed that every plan the king of Syria had made, the Israelites knew what was about to happen. He couldn't figure out what was happening. He only told his plan to his servants. And now he's getting confused at why his plan is always being messed up. And it says, "And said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" So he's going to his servants now. Listen, I've confided in you. I've told you every plan I have, but somehow it's getting leaked. We've got somebody in here that's telling Israel, that's confiding in Israel and telling what my plans are. And one of the servants replies and said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." But not only what the king is telling his servants, but even in his bedchamber, even his thoughts, the Lord is relying to Elisha. Not even something that he has told his servants, but just his thoughts, God is telling Elisha, be careful, this is what he's doing, this is what he's about to do next, before the servants even find out. And he says, the prophet, he's telling them, it's not us, it's Elisha. And he said, and I want us to see here that Elisha then gets a target put on his back. And the king said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. I wonder how many here today, I wonder how much of us are a threat to the devil or threat to this world, that we've got a target on our back from the devil. You have a target on your head because you are a threat to hell. These things that we go through sometimes, we may be going through trials and different things, and we just don't understand why they're happening. It may just be that the devil knows that you're a threat. He sees that you're a threat to what he's doing. You're witnessing like you should. You're praying like you should. You're reading your Bible like you should. You're being that light in the workplace that you should. And those things you're going through, the devil's like, that, he's a threat. She's a threat. That kid in school, they're a threat. We need to send trials and stuff their way to get them discouraged, to get them to stop doing what they're doing, to get them to think that I'm living for the Lord. Why am I getting all these trials sent my way? He's trying to mess with us. God knows what the enemy's goal is. He's on our side. He knows what the goal is. Genesis 5:20 says, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, and to save much people alive. Those things that we're going through in our life, we need to stick through it, be strong in it, because people in our life, it may not just affecting you, but those people are watching you behind me. Your parents, your kids may be watching how you're acting, what you're doing at home, how you're going about these trials, how you're going through these trials. And God can use trials in your life to lead other people to the Lord. Those temptations that the devil may be throwing your way, you're trying to avoid them, and we see he just keeps on doing it. I'm glad it's good to be a part of a kingdom of God, a people of God, where nothing takes him by surprise, because he sees what we don't. We may not understand it, but the Lord sees what we don't. And the king is saying, go and fetch him. Go to Dothan and fetch him. But he has become a threat to me. And I can't set out what I've set out to do, because he's always one step ahead. The Lord's telling him what to do. In verse 14, we see no way out. It seems to be no way out. In verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So now we see what the king has done. He sent horses and chariots, and he has literally surrounded the city of Dothan. When they wake up, in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, when Elisha's servant had got up and started his mourning, you see, and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We see, before these things, these trials come in our life, we need to be firm in the fact. This man was, he was fearful. He didn't know what to do. All he saw was this whole army around the city, and he had no answers for it. Amen. There was no fighting. There was no flighting. There was nothing that he could do to fight this battle. There was nothing that he could do to run from this battle. They were, like I said, Amen. They were in this fight. They were in this city surrounded. And I was in pastor's office maybe a month ago when we were talking about the prison ministry. And I saw this plaque on his wall, and y'all have heard it most definitely if you've been here for a while. It said, we need to get in our life and be firm in this, that run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up, because I didn't start to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. We need to have that pressed in our heart that no matter what comes our way, we're going to fight for what the Lord has given us. The Lord saved us. And no matter what comes our way, we're here to stay. Like I said, there was no fighting or fleeing. He didn't know what to do. This was Elisha's servant. And he comes to Elisha, this prophet. Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do about this huge problem that I just don't know how we're going to get out of it? And we see, point three, more than they. In verse 16, it says, and he answered, fear not. And his servant was fearful. And wouldn't you be fearful? I would be fearful if I woke up and there was an army surrounding my house. And it says, For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So what this servant didn't know, what this servant couldn't see because his fear was blinding him, is not only was he surrounded by these this Syria, not only was he surrounded by the Syrians, but what he didn't know was there was an invisible army ready right there with him. There was nothing that Syria could do to harm Elisha and his servants and the people that were here. Nothing they could do. And just to help illustrate a little bit, Dad and Brother James, if y'all come here, and Isabel. This is surprising, ain't it? You come stand right here. Just stand right there. Just stand straight. You can turn towards this way. And Brother James, I want you to get right here. And Dad, I want you to get right here. So this is Syria. I want y'all to come. I know it's come together. Yeah. This is Syria right here. Isabel here. And this is the invisible army. And this is Elijah and his servant. Or maybe this is the devil tries to throw our way. And this right here is set up to stop that right there. Now, that compared to this, is that getting through? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. What God has set up an invisible army. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has set roadblocks up in our life, and we'll follow the Lord. Hey, trials are going to come our way. Temptations are going to come our way. But if you stick with the Lord, they ain't getting to you. Thank y'all. Y'all can sit down. Appreciate it. And we see that this servant was fearful, but Elisha, as the prophet of God, being as close to God as he was, no fear, because he was close with God. And Elisha prayed, because he didn't know. He was blinded. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'm thankful for a God that sets roadblocks in our life. In Ephesians 6:12, we see that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What we see, what we don't see, the Lord sees. And He's always prepared. The Lord sees what we don't. And He's always got things. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's got you. He's got your back. And I pray tonight, if you don't know the Lord, that you'll accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. Maybe you don't even understand what I'm talking about. But I pray that you'll accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. Miss Mickey, you can come to the piano. I'm almost done. But I was listening to a song the other day, and this the beginning of it tells about the story of the writer. And it was said of Horatio Spafford that he was a wealthy lawyer from the Chicago area and personal friends with D.L. Moody. In 1870, tragically, he lost his only son to the scarlet fever. Only a year later, in the great Chicago fire, he lost nearly all of his real estate assets. As if things could not get worse, a couple years later, in the economy took a dive, leaving him and his family devastated, his wife and four daughters now. Leaving them devastated, in an attempt to encourage and build the morale of his family, he planned a trip for he, his wife, and his four daughters to travel overseas to attend a D.L. Moody rally. On the day that they were supposed to leave, Mr. Spafford got held up because of a business engagement. He sent word for them to go ahead and go on, and that he would meet them soon in the next few days. But on their journey, halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, in a storm, their boat was struck by another vessel, and it sunk to the bottom of the ocean. When his wife finally got to the place where she could send Mr. Spafford a telegram, his wife Anna sent a message that only read, "Saved alone." His precious four daughters had drowned in that terrible accident. Devastated, Mr. Spafford bought a ticket and began to make the journey to meet up with his grieving wife. And those sailors said he spent many hours on the bow of that ship, just overlooking the edge of the boat into the waters that claimed the lives of his daughters. It's said that when they got to the believed spot where his family's ship was sunk, he penned these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Amen. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Jesus has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sought, the clouds be wrote back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And the chorus says, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. I pray that no matter what comes our way, no matter what trial comes our way, we can say that it is well with our soul. Man, it seemed in just a couple of years that man lost everything. And this song that he wrote in many churches today, thousands of churches today, it's sung. And I just have to think that maybe that man had to go through that to pen these words of this song, that people can hear the gospel through it and maybe accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't understand why we go through the trials that we go through. But there's someone or there's something that God is using in our life to maybe reach someone else. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and everything you give us, Lord. God, I want to pray that you would take this message, Lord, and you would use it. Maybe there's someone here lost. God, I pray that there's someone here lost, that they just heard the gospel. God, I pray that you've been given the courage and wisdom to take that first step of faith. God, I want to pray for that Christian that maybe, as we heard this morning, has let the devil steal some of their joy. God, I pray that we would get it right and we would go on living on fire for you. I want to praise you and thank you. Every head bowed and every eyes closed.